This is Fresh Air. It's April Fool's Day, and rather than trying to play you for a sucker, we're exposing some tricks and swindles. James Randi performs under the name The Amazing Randi. He's freed himself from a straitjacket hanging upside down over Niagara Falls, and he's escaped from 28 prisons. That's as a performer, not a prisoner. In the tradition of Harry Houdini, Randi has also dedicated himself to investigating people who claim to have psychic powers. He also exposes some of the tricks used by phony faith healers. In 1987, I asked Randi if there was a performer or an act that first involved him in investigating false claims.
When I was 15, I was only a developing conjurer, and a friend of mine up in Canada said, "Hey, you should see this guy working at the Spirit Church. He's got quite an act going." I said, "Really, what's that all about?" And he took me to a spiritualist church that Sunday. And I saw a man up there who was saying that God was revealing various things to him from sealed envelopes that people had handed in at the beginning of the service. And both of us knew right away what the gimmick was. It was a gimmick called the one-ahead gimmick, and we'd read about it and hadn't used it because it wasn't our line of work, but we knew about it.
I don't know about it. What's the one-ahead gimmick?
Well, the one-ahead gimmick consists of having the people who enter the church fill out usually an index card or a piece of paper and then sealing with a question on it. You're told at the door, put your full name on the outside of the envelope and then write in it a statement of a factual nature, something that we can relate to into the spiritual world, you see. And then you're told to seal up that envelope and drop it in the basket. Then that basket is taken up to the front during the service, and the spiritualist stands there, takes an envelope, a sealed up envelope from the basket, holds it up to his or her forehead, and says, now you were told to put your initials on these envelopes and to write inside a question to which you need an answer. Now, that's not what you were told at the back. You were told to write a definitive statement. You're also told to put your full name on it. But each and every person in that church gets the impression, oh, I did the wrong thing. Everyone else wrote their initials. And, oh, I didn't know I was supposed to ask a question. I made a statement. Well, oh, what the heck. And when they hear the fellow up there saying, who is M.M.? And looking over the audience, and M.M. holds up his or her hand, they assume, oh, that's what's written on the outside of the envelope. And he even flashes the envelope to you, though you can't see from where you're seated, that the whole name is written there. Marilyn Monroe or something might be written on it, for example. So the spiritualist holds this up to his forehead and says, God tells me, or the spirits tell me, or whatever, that the question you're asking is, and I'll give you a good example, oh, ma'am, as you do this, I get a flash of red, white, and blue. It's a big, bright flash of red, white, and blue, as if it's written on a piece of paper or a piece of cloth. Yes, it's a flag. It's a flag. It's red, white, and blue, and it's flashing this way. On one side, it's a stars and stripes. On the other side, this was done in Canada, remember. On the other side, it's a Union Jack. It's going back and forth from stars and stripes, Union Jack, stars and stripes, Union Jack. What was your question? It involves F. It involves F. I don't know whether that's a name or what it is. And the woman stood up in tears and said, yes, we're considering whether or not we should move to Florida in the United States. Now, what was actually written when we got the card afterwards was the woman's full name on the outside. He called her by name halfway through and said, Marilyn, is that the name I'm hearing? Marilyn? As if that's a name he's hearing, you see, not that he read from the envelope. And she says, yes, yes, I'm Marilyn. And everyone goes, ooh, you see, how did he know that? And then what was actually written on that card was, we're thinking of moving to the United States. Will it be a smart move? It's Florida. That's what was written on the inside. But the impression he gives is that he's getting this flag going back. It's dressed up. It's show business, and that's what it was all about.
Now I know the origins of The Amazing Karnak. I never realized that that's probably what it's based on.
That's exactly based on that act, yes. Now, this is how the one-ahead works. The envelope that he's got to his forehead doesn't have M.M. or Marilyn Monroe or anything written on it. It has something else entirely different on it. It may have A.B. written on it for Abel Baker, whatever. But he's already read one, and that's why it's called One Ahead, and he knows what the question is on the inside and what the name is on the outside. He picks up an envelope, holds it to his forehead, and then holds it to his forehead through the whole thing and waves it around his hand, and then he says, let's check that, and opens the envelope.
Oh.
Now, he puts it aside and says, yes, that's correct. Throws it in the wastepaper basket and says, now, picks up another one, and he says, A.B., looking at the front of it. Who is A.B.? And that's the one he's just read and thrown away. He's got a dummy in his hand that he knows nothing about. That's why it's called One Ahead. He's always one ahead on it, you see.
One of the investigations you became really famous for was investigating Uri Geller's claims at being able to bend spoons through psychic powers. Is that an old magician's trick?
It wasn't at the time that he introduced it. It's now an old magician's trick. It's 15 years old now because it was 15 years ago that he did it. He practically invented that trick. He didn't invent the spoon trick. The bending of the keys, so far as I know, and the watch trick he did invent. We haven't been able to trace it to anyone else. But the school kids in Tel Aviv, where he was educated, the high school kids were the ones who invented the bending spoon trick, bending and breaking spoon trick. And he picked it up and made it into a miracle on television. And all the school kids in Tel Aviv knew how it was being done, of course, because it's like jamming into a telephone booth or eating goldfish or whatever. Kids of that age, they do stunts like that, and this is one of the stunts they were doing.
Can you tell how?
Are you wearing a wristwatch?
Yeah, it's digital. I don't know if
digital. No, digital doesn't work
well,
that
there's
well.
There's a face on it, but it's one of those
no,
battery
a digital
watches.
Watch doesn't really work, and besides, my psychic powers would probably destroy it. Maybe there's someone in the control room during the next few minutes that might bring us an ordinary hand watch, an ordinary analog watch. In that case, I can demonstrate it for you. It's very hard to demonstrate over radio, so your listeners are going to have to accept your word for what's about to happen. But I think if you give a very accurate description and follow along with the thing, we can probably do a
I think a watch is being brought in.
Good,
as
I can hardly
speak.
Wait. I felt the vibrations. I knew that. But the simple stuff like this is sleight of hand. It's the kind of thing that really used to be on the back of cornflake boxes when I was a kid, but scientists aren't equipped for this. Oh, a watch has been put in front of us. This is it only has one number on it, 12. I don't know how you tell the time on a watch.
Is that digital too?
No, this is a hand watch. What time would you say, by estimation, it says on the watch there?
4:25.
4:25. Okay, open up your hand for me, if you would.
Okay.
The clean one. That's close enough. All right, bring it a little closer so I can reach it. Put your finger on the back of the watch. Oh, that's an electric watch. I see there's a battery thing on the back of it. Okay, now, what did you say, 4:25?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to clench my fist over it like this. Let me take a peek at it now and see whether... not yet. I'm sorry. Okay. You keep on holding it. Now, you're in control of it. It's in your hand.
It's in my hand.
In your two hands, and you're holding it face down in your hand, and you're totally in control of the watch. Okay. I'm going to try to move the watch backwards 1 hour. Okay? And I concentrate on it once more. Now, you turn it over. I don't even have to touch it. You turn it over and tell us what time it says, please.
3:25, 3:20, actually. You moved it back 5 minutes.
I did 65 minutes. My goodness, my strength is greater than I thought. Now... you're in control. This is the watch I never saw or touched before in my life. It's a perfectly ordinary one of these Swatch watches or something, I guess it is. I didn't get
I'm
a good
really
look
amazed.
At it. Well, it's a trick.
I handed it over to you once because you said, oops, not yet. And then you took it out of my hand and
right.
then you put
mm-hmm.
it back in my hand.
But I held it only by the strap. As I said at the time, I said, holding it only by the strap.
The truth is, with a watch like this, I wouldn't even know how to adjust it. It's one of these newfangled watches. You have to read the instructions.
Does it have a winding stem on it? Some of them have little knobs and things.
It has a stem, but...
It doesn't have any knobs to push or anything like that, does it?
Doesn't come out. I don't really know how you'd wind it. So can you tell me how that was done?
I thought it was done rather well myself.
I mean, is this something you wouldn't reveal? Or
I don't because, frankly, if you're not left with a mystery, you're not left with my message. My message is that everyone can be deceived by a professional deceiver. And people like Uri Geller with the silly spoon and fork tricks and whatnot and bending keys and changing watches... was a consummate magician. He was trained in Israel, in a little town outside Tel Aviv, as a magician.
You know what I just realized? The time when you actually had the watch, you asked me what time it was, and I said 4:25. Mm-hmm. Then you took it back, and then you put it in my hand. So I guess that would be the time to finagle with it.
Possibly. So I don't really know the secret of these wonderful things, and I lie a lot, too, you see. So be
careful. Anyway, so the point is that you could have been saying, well, this is my gift. I can psychically...
Yeah.
Change watches
exactly.
and so on.
Yeah. No, if I had told you that it was a psychic trick, you might very well have good reason to start saying, hey, I wonder,
this
is
guy's
it
really
true
something.
Is it not?
James Randi, recruited in 1987, he's still debunking phony psychics. This is Fresh Air.